Hello, friends. This is Pastor Harley Wheeler with the Broadway Global Methodist Church. And I'm glad you're here for these podcasts during this Lenten season leading up to Easter of 2024. We have a series of podcasts that are titled, What Are We to Do? And they focus on the witness in the Gospels of the enemies of Jesus Christ. There are points at which those who were in opposition to Jesus said words and did actions that actually point to who he is, that give us a better chance to impress on ourselves a theological truth in a way that's easier than and more direct to our hearts than just a long explanation. And also these serve as focal instances, moments where we actually see something about who Jesus is and what he does and what his salvation means to us. And also looking at the story, and these stories are all from the Passion narrative, the time where Jesus is in Jerusalem and then is taken to the cross and dies there and is buried. As we look at this great evil that people did, where they turned upon the very Son of God, and though he was innocent, put him to death, we understand even in this, God sets limits. There's evil that he will permit people to do and not countervene their free will with his power. But he also sets limits on what they might do, and uses what they do for his good and to proclaim to the world his Son and his glory. And so for everything that is done, these words in the Gospels are to give glory to Christ, and Christ gives glory to the Father. And so this first podcast is taking the lines in John chapter 11, where actually Christ's enemies say, what are we to do? And we come to the saying of the high priest that one man should die for the people. So listen here from John chapter 11, beginning at verse 45. This is after the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And it says, many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him, but some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done, raised Lazarus from the dead. So the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered the council and said, what are we to do? For this man performs many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. But one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, you know nothing at all, nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish. He did not say this is John speaking, of his own accord, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not only for the nation only, but also to gather into one the children of God, who are scattered abroad. So from that day on, they made plans to put him to death. Now here we have a clear example where somebody like Caiaphas, who comes into the gospel story as an implacable enemy of Jesus, it is hard to piece together with certainty who is, if we want to say, more at fault for the death of Christ. Was it that crowd that was running Jerusalem, the high priest and his cohorts who felt that Jesus threatened the very good thing that they had going on with the temple? Was it the Pharisees who were offended by his claims to forgive sin? Or was it the Romans who just sensed a charismatic leader and felt that he was better done away with? And each one of these groups could have had the major role and done the real heavy, dirty work to see that Jesus went to the cross and cheerfully implicated or blamed the whole thing on one of the other groups. Now, this high priest Caiaphas, though, quite definitely has no use for Jesus, wants him dead, but he says these words, that it is better for one man should die for the people. And John takes this up, says not for this, that Jesus would die for the nation, not just for the nation only, but for all the scattered children of God. We get very used to hearing in Christian circles that Jesus died for our sins, that Jesus died to be the Savior, and is, because he died on the cross, he is the Savior of the world, that he died to save us. This comes up in our song, this comes up in our praying, in our testimony, and we forget that this concept comes from the Gospels and is formed as the story of Christ going to the cross and his interaction with the Jewish people. This truth that Jesus died for the people comes out of, well, texts like this in John. And we can see this principle of the gospel that is proclaimed by Jesus' enemies, that Caiaphas, though he has all his free will that a person has, he is making his own decision. He is his own agent in all this. He is also caught up in events that he has no control over. When the people say, "What are we to do?" that everybody's going to be believing in Jesus. If he can raise the dead, what exactly is our response to something like that? And they will certainly see that when they finally decide that they will put Christ to death and then discover that he does not stay dead, the powers of this world are going to be baffled. And Caiaphas is in the midst of competing agendas and loyalties in the Jewish world. He is up against the promises that he has made to Rome to keep order. And he delivered those kind of promises to the Romans so that he could be high priest. He's not a very good high priest, but he cannot get away from his role as high priest, even though the high priest was not supposed to be something that you were high priest that year. It had turned about that the Romans designated who could be high priest, and trust me, you had to go to the Romans and promise them a thing or two, order in the town, a slice of the offerings that are coming through the temple, and all that sort of thing. You were supposed to be high priest because you were next in line in Aaron's family, and you were high priest until you gave up this life. But even with a bad high priest, Caiaphas does the job of a high priest. He says, "This is the sacrifice this Passover." That was what a priest was supposed to do. He was supposed to inspect animals and make sure they were indeed the animal that should be sacrificed. This is why, and this is why we have a line in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, where in verse 7, Paul writes, "For Christ our Passover lamb has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." You didn't bring just any animal to be a Passover sacrifice. It had to be inspected. It had to be without blemish. It had to be healthy and strong. It had to be, in other words, approved by the priest. So Caiaphas, as high priest, approves that Jesus will be the one to die for the people. And even though he is planning evil, he says the right thing. Even though his very status as high priest is marred by his deals with the different powers that are running Jerusalem, and his kind of devil's bargain with the Roman power that is occupying that territory, he says what is going to actually happen, that this Jesus will die for the people to be a Passover sacrifice and worship God and be that blood that is shed for the forgiveness of sins. You had to be approved by the high priest, and Caiaphas the high priest does just that. And so we find that here we have something that makes us, you know, take a minute just to see who Christ is. To take right now to have a moment to focus on this. That Jesus has come to live among us. He is the Son of God that has taken on flesh, and he's put himself right in the place right before the priests that are, and Caiaphas now looks at Jesus and says, "Yes, that one." We can now go through the gospel story. We can go through the story of the cross saying, "Yes, he is indeed the one. He is the one who will die for us all." It isn't that Jesus would die for the people because, well, it would be best that they died and Jesus was going to die for them, though in some sense we do understand that our death is wrapped up in Christ. And we do indeed understand that my life is over that was before I met Christ, and I now live in him. But the easy understanding in a passage like this is he would die for sin. He would die as an act of obedience to the Father. The Father who said, sacrifice that Passover lamb. The Father who said, put the blood upon the lintels of your doors so that the angel of death will pass over you so long ago in Egypt. That he would die and his blood would be that which would save us from the danger and the destruction that we have indeed brought on ourselves. So here we have this one instance where Caiaphas points his finger and says, yes, that one. And it so much ends up being true. So thank God that he sent his son Jesus to be right in that place, to be before the high priest and to be designated as the one who indeed would die for the people, and not just for those people in Jerusalem, but for you and for I. Trust this Lord. Trust that he is going to bring you nearer to the Father, that he has a place prepared for you, and that indeed you can know forgiveness and cleansing from your sins in his blood. Be blessed. This is Pastor Harley Wheeler with the Broadway Global Methodist Church. I urge you to come and join us for the second podcast, as we will be looking at Judas, who is going to proclaim that he has betrayed innocent blood. And that will be the next one. So God bless and take care.